Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Rackliff, but it is Monday, October 16th. Week 6 almost in the books, so let's recap all the action from a wild Sunday. A lot of upsets and crazy games in general, and unfortunately a lot more injuries to deal with. We're going to start in London with Baltimore beating up on Tennessee. The score makes this one look a little bit closer than what it really was. Baltimore only put 24 points on the board. Felt like it could have been more than that, but they didn't really have to do that much here. And Lamar Jackson back on track. After last week, he put up 62 yards on the ground, 223, and a score through the air. Another 70-plus percent completion game for him. Last week was a little blip on the radar. He is not 2019 Lamar Jackson from a running standpoint, but he's still pretty good. But he's better almost from a passing standpoint than any other point in his career. I realize that year was an outlier year in terms of passing touchdowns, but just overall throwing the football really well. Obviously riffing with Zay Flowers, 6 for 50 and a touchdown. Mark Andrews, 4 for 69. I mean, if that's his floor, whatever. Keaton Mitchell didn't play any offensive snaps. He did play on special teams. I think he's a hold. I'll talk more about that tomorrow. On the other side, Derrick Henry actually ripped off a longer run, or it would have been probably an ugly day. 12 for 97 and a score for him. He and Tajay Spears are still in a full-blown timeshare. Spears played 24 snaps, 26 for Henry. Ryan Tannehill went down with what's feared to be a high ankle sprain. They are heading into bye this week, but if he doesn't play after that, I mean, it's looking like Malik Willis will be the starter, so we'll have to talk more about that tomorrow. On to the next game, Washington and Atlanta. And, man, Washington bouncing back. Sam Howell threw 3 passing scores. Wasn't amazing, but honestly, 3 passing scores. 151 yards. Did take 5 more sacks, though. He's had 34 on the season. That's the third most through 6 games in the Super Bowl era. Only David Carr has had more. He did it twice, 2002 and 2005. On the other side, and really that was it. I mean, I think everybody has dropped Antonio Gibson by now. But on the other side, I don't know if you ever heard of this guy named Kyle Pitts. I'm gonna do a victory lap when I can on Kyle Pitts. But hey, 4 catches, 43 yards, and a touchdown. It was a 9-yard touchdown, and I believe that was the longest of his career, which is like wild. How is that even possible? But I am pretty sure that's the longest of his career. He, Jonnu Smith, also got in the end zone, 4 for 36 and a touchdown. And Drake London, 9 for 125. I mean, that's your top 3 pass catchers right there. Obviously, Bijan also. And Bijan, by the way, 5 for 43 as a pass catcher. Only 13 for 37 as a runner. But this isn't the time to sell him. Somebody asked if I would trade him away. Like, why would I do that? If I want to trade a player away, I'm going to wait until that player has a good game and then trade that player away. Now, the psychology of a fantasy football player, most fantasy players, is player has a bad game, I want to trade him away. Player has a good game, everything is right with the world, and I don't want to do anything with him. You got to reverse that. You got to think opposite. Like, there's this like ding-dong thing that people say, like the trolls out on Twitter. Here's what they say. Everything Rackliff says, I do the opposite. Right? That whole thing. And I love how every time that comes out, it's like, this is the first time anybody's ever said that. Anyway, people have been saying that for the last 13 years, brah. Everything that you think, do the opposite. That might be more likely here when it comes to trading. If you think, oh, I got to sell him because he's stinking up the joint, what do you think the rest of the people in your league are going to think? Same thing. So wait until he has a big game and then sell him. You're not going to want to do that, but that's the better advice. Desmond Ridder, 307-2. Yeah, he had 3 picks, but whatever. Actually trending up here from a passing yardage standpoint over the last 2 weeks. Minnesota-Chicago. Minnesota getting the job done, so that's important if you have Justin Jefferson. If they lost out the next 4 games, I don't know if we would see Jefferson the rest of the season. Got a big win here. Alexander Mattison, heavily used, which is encouraging if you were concerned about Cam Akers. He had 22 touches. Akers had two. So answered that question. Honestly, 18 for 44 on the ground wasn't great. He did catch four balls for 28 yards, though. And honestly, I think he's going to hold off Akers. We did have Addison and Osborne both see five targets. Addison got in the end zone, but not much doing in general in this game. There just wasn't a lot of work. I mean, Hockenson 6 for 50. Okay, if that's his floor, I'll take it. On the other side, okay, well, we'll start with Justin Fields. He suffered a dislocated thumb. He's going to have an MRI today. I don't see any news as of right now. There was no break in there, according to the x-rays. But this seems likely he's going to miss some time. So we might have Tyson Bagent as the starter for the short term here. That's obviously not good news. I mean, it's a great story that Bagent is a backup quarterback after going undrafted. He was awesome at the small school level, but it's not good for DJ Moore. You know, straightforward. The backfield, Deontay Foreman did, you know, yeoman's work here, 15 for 65, but we hopefully will have Roshan back for next week at least. We'll talk more about that on the show tomorrow. All right, moving on to the next game, Seattle-Cincinnati. Joe Burrow, two passing scores in this one, both of them in the first half, and honestly, moved around better. I mean, the numbers are not amazing, but there was one point where he was extending a play. He hasn't moved like that all season, so that was encouraging. Could have been a bigger game for Ja'Marr Chase, so I'm not overly concerned with 6 for 80. And T. Higgins. T. Higgins. Well, this is what we signed up for. Can't trade this dude away because what are you getting for him? A sack of magic beans at this point? This is a catastrophic season for Higgins in particular because it's a contract year. He's almost certainly not going to be back with the Bengals. So, yikes. Only 21 routes run for him, 37 for both Boyd and Chase. Hopefully this turns around. On the other side, DK Metcalf continuing to deal with the ribs issue, exited the game briefly, had 4 for 69, 6 for 94 for Tyler Lockett. Ken Walker keeps rolling, 19 for 62, but a touchdown. That's nice. Plus 3 for 27 as a pass catcher. At this point, if you had Charbonnet on rosters, remember, he's just a scratch-off lottery ticket. There's no immediate value to him. But if Walker went down, there would be some value. I'm going to talk about Jaxon Smith-Njigba tomorrow. This was definitely the best game we've seen on him so far. San Francisco-Cleveland, what the heck? Apparently, and I didn't know this coming into this one, but Kyle Shanahan against Jim Schwartz, there's been 9 games where they've either been head coaches or coordinators against each other, and Kyle Shanahan is 1-8 in those games. 7 straight losses. Well, that's burying the lead, though, because more importantly, Christian McCaffrey is dealing with an obliques injury. You also have Deebo Samuel, but Deebo Samuel's doesn't seem to be as severe. Now, this is not going to be a season ender. I doubt it's even a short-term IR. However, we have a lot of questions here because Jordan Mason, 5 for 27 and a touchdown in relief duty. Elijah Mitchell was active. So, yikes. We're going to have to talk about both of these guys tomorrow. I actually think they're both worth an add, but I'm not sure where they're going to go with this one. Brock Purdy, by the way, in this one showed signs of mortality, 125-1 in this one, not his best outing. PJ Walker on the other side, how about it? I mean, not an amazing game by any stretch, but he at least got enough so that Amari Cooper was usable, 4 for 108. Kareem Hunt and Jerome Ford. Snap distribution, Ford 36, Hunt 26. Hunt scored a touchdown. For a good chunk of the game, Hunt looked like the better player. But then down the stretch, Ford was ripping off runs, running hard and angry against that 49ers defense. 17 for 84 against that defense is pretty solid. I would still much rather have Ford going forward. And in fact, what I'm seeing here is a 36-26 snap distribution sounds a lot like Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Still want Ford going forward over Hunt, but we will have to talk about Hunt tomorrow. Next on the list, Carolina and Miami. I think another example of why we don't overreact to a few minutes of football, because, you know, there were some people after the first quarter in our Discord at ftnfantasy.com who were like, wow, I can't believe how good the Panthers look. Yeah, we play the whole game. They got doubled up by the Dolphins, 40-21. Dolphins, all right, Tua, 262-3. He has 14 passing touchdowns already on the season. That's the most through six games since Danny Marino in 1994. Mostert has 11 touchdowns on the season. He had 8 the previous 3 years combined, by the way. 9 rushing touchdowns on the season, most since Pretty Ricky Williams had 11 in 2009. And, of course, Mostert has only played 6 games, so he seems likely to have a shot at breaking that record. But Mostert was awesome. I actually said on CBS Sports Network yesterday morning on that other pregame show that I liked laddering Mostert's anytime touchdowns. And I said on national TV, I'll toot the horn. 11-1 on 3+ touchdowns. That was a nice hit right there. It was easy, though. And, of course, if you had him in DFS like everybody else, you were happy about that. Jalen Waddle in the end zone, 7-for-51 in a score. Tyreek Hill, 6-for-163 in a score. It was just all over the place here. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. As far as the other side, I'm still on the Adam Thielen sell high train. He's 33 years old. He is producing very well right now. But, boy, I don't want to bet on this continuing. Chuba Hubbard, 19-for-88, that is, and one. Not bad in relief duty there with no Miles Sanders. We'll see what happens after this team comes out of bye. But Thomas Brown, it sounds like he's going to take over play calling here. So that could change things a little bit. I think Bryce has shown signs over this first 6 weeks of the season. I don't think it's an absolute debacle, but they need to do something else here. Because obviously what they're doing so far is not working. Let's move on to Indianapolis and Jacksonville. Love this rivalry, but this matchup is a little rough. On the Indy side, of course, they lost 37-20 in this one. But the big news wasn't even the game. It was the possibility of Anthony Richardson deciding to undergo surgery, which would end his season. It's a possibility. It is not definitive. But I would be prepared for this. If you're in Superflex and you went and spent some money on Gardner Minshew last week, probably not the worst idea. 329-1. He had 3 picks, but I'm not worried about the 3 picks. He threw the ball 55 times. He will throw the ball around the yard. Gardner Minshew is more than capable of that. Threw the ball to Michael Pittman 14 times. He caught 9-for-109, like that a lot. And I'll talk more about Josh Downs tomorrow. Not big numbers, but he is being heavily involved. As far as the backfield is concerned, touches, Zach Moss 13, Jonathan Taylor 13. Snaps, Zach Moss 37, Jonathan Taylor 32. This is a mess. I really am glad I have no piece of this pretty much anywhere, and I really don't want a piece of this, but it seems like Zach Moss is going to gradually fade into the latter half of the committee, though when that happens, I can't tell you. On the other side, the up-and-down season continues for Calvin Ridley. 4-for-30 in this one. He has been under 40 receiving yards in 4 of 6 games this season. If only somebody warned us about the up-and-down nature of Calvin Ridley. Trevor Lawrence had a knee issue at the end of the game, but he seems like he's okay. He's day-to-day. Travis Etienne rolling. 2 rushing touchdowns back-to-back games. The first Jags running back to do so since Maurice Jones-Drew back in 2009. New Orleans, Houston. Houston quietly becoming one of my favorite teams this season. Taking down the Saints. I mean, the Texans have some fight in them. The biggest takeaway here is Devin Singletary the lead back now? I mean, it was one game, but he definitely out-snapped Damian Pierce. Snap distribution, 31 for Singletary, 21 for Pierce. We'll talk more about Singletary tomorrow, but he's going to be a waiver ad. This is a robust waiver wire, by the way. On the New Orleans side, still a ton of Alvin Kamara. He's not doing a ton with it, but the beauty to him, he goes 19-for-68 on the ground, which is not that good, but then he catches 7 balls. Only 36 yards, but so what? 10.6 PPR points just as a receiver. Thank you. Chris Olave, bounce back game. Not in on Rashid Shaheed. He had 2-for-85 and a score. That's awesome, but it's 2 catches. It's like a Uber Gabe Davis right there. Moving on to the next contest, revenge across the board for the Raiders, and they got that revenge. Jimmy Garoppolo exited the game with a back injury, but another former Patriot, Brian Hoyer, came in and, helped ice it, I suppose. Big takeaways here, Jacoby Myers, awesome. He's having a great season. 5 for 61 in a score for him, that's fantastic. Michael Mayer, we have an appearance from the rookie here. We got a big sighting, 5 for 75. We'll talk about him tomorrow. And just keep going with Josh Jacobs. I know it's not great, but the volume is, and eventually I think the efficiency is going to catch up. 25 for 77 on the ground, caught 2 balls for 16 yards. On the other side, don't believe too much of the hype. There was this like crazy Malik Cunningham hype. In a perfect scenario, Malik Cunningham is Taysom Hill. That's in a perfect scenario. Like, he's not taking over the starting job. He was at, like, yeah, if Mac Jones went down, of course, he would have been the quarterback because that's all you really had. But just, it's tough, man. Like, a lot of fantasy players buy hype so quickly. Know the player. Malik Cunningham, there was a reason why he went undrafted, even though he had better rushing numbers at Louisville than Lamar Jackson did at Louisville. There's a reason why he went undrafted. Know the player. Don't always buy the hype. Kendrick Bourne, though, I'm buying that hype. 10 for 89. We'll talk about him tomorrow. Ramondre Stevenson back on track. And it really wasn't even the rushing touchdown. It was the 5 catches. He had 5 for 24, 7.4 extra PPR points there. Solid game for him. But Zeke got in the end zone as well, 7 for 34 and a touchdown. We'll talk more about Zeke tomorrow because he's too widely available. Let's see. Arizona and the Rams. Let's talk on the Rams side. I'm going to talk about the injuries first, and then we'll get into Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. So Kyren Williams went bananas, 20 for 158 and a score on the ground. Pretty touchdown, too, where he fought to get that ball across the plane. But he has an ankle issue, and he is undergoing an MRI, which typically is not good when it comes to an ankle issue. Okay. Ronnie Rivers would be the next man up. He has a knee issue, and the latest that I saw right before I hit record on this podcast is that he is going to miss several weeks. So that leaves us with Zach Evans. I have Zach Evans still on a Scott Fishbowl team. I don't know why, but I just didn't drop him. And cha-ching, I guess. I don't know. We're going to have to talk about Zach Evans tomorrow. Hopefully this isn't bad for Kyren Williams, but usually MRI and ankle is not a good thing. Cooper Kupp, 7 for 148 and a touchdown. He is so stinking good, it's not even funny. In this game, Matthew Stafford barely threw the ball. He threw the ball 24 times. That's why I'm not freaking out over Puka Nacua. He had 7 targets, 9 for Kupp. So the targets are still there. Caught 4 balls. For 26 yards. Could have been a slightly bigger day. Was close to scoring a touchdown or one of the targets that he didn't catch. But I'm not worried. In fact, if somebody wants to sell him, I will buy low on Puka Nacua. They're not going to have games where Stafford throws just 24 times very often. On the other side, the backfield is a complete mess for the Cards. So here's your touches. And then I'll compare that to the snaps, and you'll see what I mean. Touches, Keontae Ingram, 12. Damian Williams, I don't know where they found this. They dusted this dude off. 9, and Amari DiMercato, 3. Okay, so that seems like it was a complete disaster to have picked up Amari DiMercato last week. Okay, now listen to the snaps. Amari DiMercato, 33. Keontae Ingram, 26. Damian Williams, 12. That paints a very different picture. And so what do we do going forward? I mean, obviously, if Keontae Ingram's out there, we'll talk about him. Probably should add him. But do we trust either him or DiMercato as anything more than a flex? No. And I don't think you can trust DiMercato. But I don't also think that it's a disaster you picked him up, because it's not like Keontae Ingram looked like the next coming of David Johnson for this offense. He didn't. He averaged 4 yards per carry, whatever. He, you know, didn't really flash in as a pass catcher. And in fact, DiMercato ran significantly more routes than him. Ingram ran 11 routes, caught 2 balls. DiMercato ran 24 routes, caught 1 ball. He was lining up like split out wide and stuff. It was really interesting. So I don't think this story's over just yet. You know, we'll leave it at that. Let's move on to Philly and the Jets. What an exciting game. I mean, not good for those Eagles fans out there. But boy, was that exciting. That ending was tremendous. On the edge of my seat watching that one. But the Jets pulling it out 20-14. Zach Wilson playing some game manager football, and that's okay. Honestly, that's okay. 186 yards. That's okay. He had a nice two-point conversion in this one. That's okay. Just keep throwing the ball to Garrett Wilson, 8 for 90, and that's okay. Garrett Wilson, it looked like, I was like, oh no, are we going to lose Garrett Wilson to injury? We'll have to keep an eye on it. If it's anything, he may end up being like limited in practice this week, but I think he escaped with, you know, nothing. Breece Hall, really tough on the ground. 12 for 39, 3.3 yards per carry, but the Eagles let him score. So I'll take those 6 points right there. And how about this? 5 for 54 for Breece Hall. That was solid as a pass catcher. On the other side, I mean, honestly, even in a game like this, generally speaking, the Eagles' big producers produce. Jalen Hurts, 280 and a score, 47 rushing yards and a score. All right, 3 interceptions, most leagues that's minus 3 points. Okay, whoopity-do. A.J. Brown, 4 straight games with 125-plus. He goes 7 for 133. DeAndre Swift, not good on the ground, 10 for 18. It doesn't matter. In PPR, 8 for 40 and a touchdown as a receiver. Dallas Goedert, 5 for 42. That'll be top 12. That's fine. Devontae Smith was the only one, 5 for 44, which wasn't catastrophic, but he had 11 targets. He led the team in targets. I thought it would have been bigger. It could have potentially been bigger, but, you know, credit where credit's due to the Jets defense, to the Jets secondary. They're just rolling out guys because, I mean, they were without their top two corners in this one. And they still did a very nice job overall in this game. So what can you do? I mean, for the Eagles, I guess it's on to the next week. For the Jets, things are looking up. All right, Detroit, Tampa Bay, another injury. David Montgomery hurt in this one, a ribs issue. We're seeing a lot of guys with ribs issues this season. So if he isn't able to play next in their next game, Jahmyr Gibbs should be back, but if not, it would be Craig Reynolds. Craig Reynolds didn't have a particularly good game for fantasy purposes in this one, but he had an awesome block. For Amon-Ra, who went bananas, 12 for 124 and a score. Don't buy the hype on Jameson Williams. 2 for 53 in the long touchdown. Yes, we're all going to see the long touchdown, but we're going to miss the fact that he ran 9 routes out of a possible 44. How many did Amon-Ra run? 43. Josh Reynolds, 40. Sam Laporta, 36. And don't freak over Sam Laporta. He had 11 targets. He caught 4 for 36. Could have been a much bigger game. Don't go overboard on Jameson Williams. On the other side, I mean, Evans had 10 targets. He caught 4 for 49. Better days will be ahead. Actually, it was a solid game for Godwin. Rashad White is not producing, but there's no threat here. Keyshawn Vaughn barely played in this one, so you can still kind of use White as you can tell how excited I am, as a lackluster RB2 option. All right, let's round it out with, I mean, come on. This was almost the third big upset of the day. Tyrod Taylor had a chance to beat his old team. Now, he ultimately doesn't, but my big reaction here, is Tyrod Taylor better than Daniel Jones? I mean, because the offense looked bad. Now, they only put 9 points on the board, but then again, the defense only let up 14. But they were, like, moving the football a little bit. And, you know, for example, like Wan'Dale Robinson, who I'm going to talk about tomorrow, 8 for 62. If this was Daniel Jones, what would that have been if he completed 8 passes? Would have been, like, 8 for 24 yards, right? Like, Tyrod Taylor was not that bad. He wasn't that good, but he was not that bad. Darius Slayton, 4 for 69 in there as well. And Darren Waller, serviceable, 9.3 PPR points, 5 for 43. Barkley touched the ball 28 times. 98 scrimmage yards, could have been better, but the fact that he touched the ball 28 times in his return game is encouraging enough for me. On the other side, Stephon Diggs, yeah, ho-ho-hum, 10 for 100. I mean, he gets 100 points on the nose, too, for those bonus point leagues, which I respect that, Diggs. 16 targets for him. Gabe Davis doing Gabe Davis things. 3 for 21. Here's an interesting takeaway. James Cook looked pretty sharp here. 14 for 71. However, Latavius Murray and James Cook were essentially in a full-blown timeshare. Murray had 12 carries for 45 yards. Of course, part of that was the byproduct of Damian Harris exiting. Had a very scary situation there. Sean McDermott said things are going in a positive direction for him. He had movement in his extremities and all of that, but was taken to the hospital. So hoping the best here for Damian Harris with this neck issue. It would seem likely he's going to miss some time. I'll talk about Latavius Murray on the show tomorrow. But, you know, like I said, James Cook looks sharp. This is the sharpest we've seen him in a couple weeks. Allen goes 169-2, doesn't run much, only runs twice for 11 yards. All right, you're going to get games like this with Josh Allen. This is just part of it. But we also, for every game like this, we get the games where he goes like 390, three passing scores, 60 rushing yards, and a touchdown. You know, like it's just the rub with Josh Allen. But what a fun game. What a fun week. Tomorrow, I will tell you this flat out. It is, I think this might be the biggest waiver wire in terms of amount of players, because I already have the list in front of me and I'll probably add a few more to it. But running back alone for tomorrow is lengthy. So we have a big one for you tomorrow. Week 7 waiver wire coming at you. In the meantime, go check out FTNFantasy.com. Use that promo code RATPACK for 10% off. And you can follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe, on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.